All right, Shabbat Shalom, and welcome to United Israel World Union. This is our Sabbath morning study, and I'm pleased to be with you here today. Thank you so much for joining us. I wanted to begin today by asking you to remember the Tyler family in your prayers. The patriarch of the family and longtime friend of United Israel was gathered to his father's on this past Monday. And so out of respect for the family, I just wanted to read just a couple of points from the obituary that I received via email from David the other day. Francis Leo Red Tyler, age 89 of Rome, passed away peacefully on January 14th, 2019, with his family at his side. Francis leaves two sons, a daughter-in-law, David Francis, Patricia Ann Tyler, and Stephen Charles Tyler, a grandson, Jeremy Francis Tyler, and a great-grandson, Owen Francis Hunt. Francis was predeceased by a grandson, Daniel Townsend Tyler, and he leaves behind a beautiful Pekingese dog named Toby who shared his final hours with him. Francis was of the Hebrew faith. He observed the Torah of Moses, including the commandments, the dietary laws, the holy days of the Hebrew Bible. He'll be given a private service by his son David, who is a minister ordained by the United Israel World Union, one of the oldest Jewish outreach organizations in the U.S., founded in New York City in 1944. So keep the Tylers in your prayers. Again, I just wanted to pull a couple of points there so that you're thinking about his family, his wife, Anne, and, of course, his son, his sons and daughter-in-law and grandson and so forth. So keep the Tylers in your prayers. I don't know if Anne and the family are listening, but we are thinking about you today. So today, I have a special class. The title for today's teaching is Thoughts, Torah from the Inside. Thoughts, Torah from the Inside. So if you're taking notes, a lot of times I don't give the title at the beginning of the class, but this particular idea has been forming within me for quite some time. And it really sort of came out this week as I began to take notes and study, and I gave it a lot of thought, as the title might imply, thoughts. And so I wanted to present this to you today. As you might pick up from the title, I mean to show forth from scriptures that Torah, that is biblical faith, authentic Hebrew biblical faith, goes beyond what you might say an external application. It goes beyond just the outside, and it starts in the heart. Torah faith, in its truest definition, in what was intended to be the way, if you will, goes beyond just obedience on the outside. It goes to the inside. I believe, and we'll seek to show from the Tanakh, from the Hebrew Scriptures, that even our thinking needs to be right. Even our thinking, even our thoughts. It can't just be that we do the right thing. You know, I think a lot of times in Torah faith, we focus on our deeds and our actions, and sometimes we get so caught up in that that I think we sort of minimize the importance of getting the heart right. Even though we read passages about how important it is, and, you know, there are a lot of passages in the Hebrew Bible that talk about put these things on your heart, write them on your heart, and so forth, I think we kind of read over that and we focus more on the day-to-day, how do we do it, which I'm not putting down. I just want you to think a little bit deeper today. I know that some who listen to today's teaching, some who hear today's class, at least presently might not agree with me when I say that even our thoughts have to be right. Some may not agree with that, at least at the beginning of this class. I think if you believe Scripture, by the end of today's teaching, you'll agree with me and Scripture. See how I did that? If you don't agree with it now, at the end you'll agree with me and with Scripture that our thoughts do matter. And not only do they matter, it's where we have to begin if we plan on getting this faith right. So many presently believe that so long as one does not act on a bad thought, that there's been no sin, no harm, no foul, no action, no negative action, no bad act, no sin, everything's good. A lot of times people think, I just have these bad thoughts, but I don't act on them, so I've not transgressed the commandment. I kept it on the inside. I'm here to say today, you can't have it on the inside either. I think it goes beyond just this idea, no act, no foul. I think there is a deeper intention in the Torah and in the Scriptures, and I'm doing this for me and for you. I promise you that during this study this week, that it has really hit home with me, and I've had to think about what I think about. All right? And I want you to think about what you think about as well. Thoughts. Torah from the inside. I recently saw a discussion on Facebook. This might surprise some of you the way I begin today's class. But I saw a discussion on Facebook where an ex-Christian was mocking a saying attributed to Jesus of Nazareth. And he was having a good time at it. Now, just a few years ago, I happened to know that this particular ex-Christian was a Christian, right? And I believe that what he posted and the way he posted it, he was doing it for the intention of stirring things up. He was agitating. He was picking. He was trying to start a fight. Now, those of you who know me know that I typically don't engage in those things. I will often post what I'm going to post, but I don't get in the fray and debate. I just simply don't have the time, nor the energy, nor the patience, nor the desire to get into that level of engagement. So I'm doing it here. So if you happen to be that person who snickered and thought that you would do this, hopefully you'll recognize and you'll find this video and you'll realize that maybe, just maybe, thou shalt not have cast stones. So I thought about this a lot. Now, what was he mocking? He was mocking a saying attributed to Jesus concerning the subject of adultery. And most of you are familiar with this. It comes from Matthew chapter 5. And the saying is something like this. You have heard of them of old say, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whoever gazes at a woman to desire her, basically, has already committed adultery in his heart. And so the post went something like this. Ha, ha, ha. That is absurd. It's unreasonable. It's ridiculous. We can't control the way that we think. I mean, boys will be boys, right? There's nothing wrong, saith this particular poster on Facebook, that a man has thoughts that are unclean towards these women so long as he doesn't act them out. Is that true? I mean, does this go where the Torah doesn't go? In other words, to say that one should not even have impure thoughts, is that really what the Torah says? Look, we know that boys will be boys and you can't control your thoughts, but just keep it together, guys. You know, try to hold yourself back. Try not to be a brute. Try not to be someone who rapes and pillages. We know it's in your nature. This really got to me this week. I really started thinking about that. I mean, are we only judged according to our actions, our deeds, our physical application in the world that we live in? Now, the saying that's attributed to Jesus in this particular passage, some of you are scared to even mention Jesus, I'm not. The saying that's attributed to Jesus in this particular saying challenges that idea and says that even our thoughts and our desires, if we seek to be righteous and holy, should be pure. Now, I know that there are possibly some, like I said, who don't believe. I know of one for sure who publicly mocked it. Well, perhaps this ex-Christian is not so much an expert on the Hebrew Bible either. So let's take a look at a couple of things. Now, I do want to say first off that there is plenty of scriptural evidence that there is a problem with humanity. That, if you will, humanity has a heart condition. Okay? Now, a popular preacher in our area is always talking about the sin nature and how mankind is depraved and so forth. Look, I don't believe that. Now, some people do. They really do. They believe, like this ex-Christian who's still packing this baggage, that you can't help it, that you're just, you know, you're wicked as hell by nature, and you're just trying to scrap your way through it. So just refrain your desires, and you'll be okay. See, I don't believe that. But, in fairness, I'll give a couple of passages. Let's begin today in the scripture in Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things, and it's exceedingly corrupt. Who can know it? So this is a question from Jeremiah. In the English, I'm reading the ASV. The heart is deceitful above all things. In Hebrew, it's akov halev mikol, crooked. It's like the heart is crooked. From all means literally in Hebrew, it's a way to say the superlative, above everything. The heart, like if you said, here's a list of problems. Well, here's the biggest problem. The heart is crooked, above all. And it's sick. Who can know it? Now, evangelicals can use this and do to describe this depraved condition of humanity, this boys will be boys idea. That men just can't help it. They're animals. And so that's kind of the thing that a lot of people pick up on. Who can know the heart? Well, let me tell you There is one who knows the heart, and the answer is in the next verse. Jeremiah gives us the answer. Verse 10, I, Jehovah, search the mind. I try the heart, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Now, I want to bring up some points here. Number one, here where it says to search, in Hebrew, it's choker. This idea that God searches the heart, lev bohen, and it says he gives, after he searches the heart, he gives according to every man, according to, notice, his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. Fruit of his deeds. So here we've got this idea that God is searching the heart, but what he's doing is he is administering justice based upon the actions of man, his ways, his doings. So some might argue, well, Ross, it doesn't say his thoughts. You know, it's like there's this shield around man where God doesn't, because he could, but he doesn't choose to really look at the inside. He's just checking you out on the outside. So long as you don't rob a 7-Eleven or whatever. They still have 7-Elevens. As long as you don't rob a store, you know, if you think about it, just control it, boys. And I'm using men just because that's popular in the news right now. But I want you to go with me now to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. And I want you to go to verse 23. Now, this is a psalm of David. And David says this. We're talking a little bit about the heart today and the heart condition of humanity, but I want to get at the inside of what Torah faith ought to really be. So look at verse 23, Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And what David is doing is he is opening himself up in prayer, and he's inviting God in to look around. Now, this is something pretty interesting. He wants to know, perhaps there are things that he doesn't see. He wants these to be made known to him. Now, look, go back to verse 1. This is a psalm of David. In verse 1, listen to this. O Jehovah, you have searched me and known me. You know my down-sitting and my uprising. You understand my thought afar off. You searchest out my path and my lying down. By the way, the root there is choker. It's the same as the verse that I just read. And you're acquainted with all my ways, for there's not a word in my tongue. But lo, O Jehovah, you know it all together. In other words, you know my words, you know my thoughts, you know my inside. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high, I cannot attain to it. Whither shall I go from your spirit, or whither shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. And he goes on. In other words, his point is, there is nothing that is secret from Jehovah. You may as well say, search me, because he does. And he knows already. He knows your thoughts. He knows you're rising up, you're lying down. But from the earliest recorded days of humanity, we get a rather negative assessment of man's heart, don't we? We do get this in Scripture. The heart is desperately sick. Who knows it, right? It's deceitful above all things, the heart of man. Now, there's a remedy for that, folks, but we're going to get to it shortly. I don't want you to feel like you have this heart condition and you can't do anything about it. That'd be bad. But with the right heart doctor, Jehovah, there's an answer. But I want you to look with me. Go with me to Genesis 8, Genesis 8, and I'm going to pick up part B of verse 21. I'll read the whole thing. And Jehovah, Genesis 8, 21, Jehovah smelled the sweet savor, and Jehovah said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for that the imagination of man's heart is evil, or bad, ra, bad from his youth, neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. So Jehovah says, this is after the flood, and Noah and the family are out, and he says, look, I will never curse the ground again because of man, because he says, man, he says, Yetzer Lev Ha'adam Ra. The formation, it's like the intention or things that are crafted in the heart, form Yetzer, to form, to fashion. The things that are fashioned in the heart of man are bad. Did you get that? There are bad things that begin to be crafted in our hearts. It's fertile ground. Your heart is very, very fertile. Go with me to Genesis 6, 5. Genesis 6, 5. And Jehovah saw that the bad of man, or the wickedness of man, was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart. It's a mouthful, but it's deep. That every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only bad all the day. All intentions, every formation, everything that was being formed in the thoughts of his heart was only bad all the day. Now, sure, they had things going on, physical things too, I'm sure. But this is talking about what led to the destruction of the planet. Hear me. Goes back to the idea that deep within mankind, there's this condition. Right? And some would say, well, it's okay. Keep it bottled up, boys. As long as it doesn't come out, we're okay. Well, that's not what Jehovah said. Now, adding further, look at verse 6. And it repented Jehovah that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. It was so bad, this every intention of the thoughts of his heart was bad all the day. That was so bad. Humanity had reached such a state of degradation from the inside out that ultimately God was sorry that he made man, and it grieved God's heart. Wow. Now, thought here, where it talks about all the intentions of the thoughts of his heart, the word thought in Hebrew is chashav. And it's translated as to think or a thought, but it can be translated to devise, to plan, to scheme sometimes. You know, if you look up every occurrence of this word. But in every case, chashav indicates an inside action, something that takes place in the mind and the heart of man. It doesn't It doesn't indicate an outside something. It indicates an inside something. And what I'm telling you today is that Torah faith starts in the heart. This is an inside job that Jehovah's trying to do with this race we call humans. If we're wrong on the inside, chances are we're not going to be right on the outside. What goes in comes out. You reap what you sow. And let me tell you this, just because it doesn't show up on the outside doesn't mean it's not going on the inside. Now, some would argue that that's okay. That's okay. We're almost there as long as we keep it bottled up. But see, I don't believe that's what Jehovah's aiming for here. I don't believe that Jehovah just wants us to fix the outside. What if I took this cup? You see this cup, you know, and I drink out of it. And what if I wash the outside of it and I kept it? Well, John actually washes it usually. John's always doing the dishes. I'm going to get in trouble with John, but he, you know, he helps me here. But what if we didn't clean the inside of the cup? Right? I mean, what? Think about that. Well, the outside could be spotless and shiny and beautiful, and you would look at it on the screen. You'd go, wow, that's a pretty cup. That's interesting. That's nice. But on the inside, it had mold. It doesn't. But what if it did? Would that be safe? Would that be good? Would that be right? Does that make sense? It's a good illustration. See, what I'm trying to tell you is, first, John, clean the inside. Then clean the outside. And if you run out of time, mainly just get here and here. That's what we do, right? Think about what we're trying to do here is what I'm telling you is that Torah should begin on the inside. If you're starting on the outside, you're starting on the wrong end. That's what I'm telling you. If you're more concerned with the outward appearance, with the external application, if you're worried about days and months and years and figuring out which calendar is right and arguing with somebody on Facebook, you're probably in the wrong movement. You're probably wasting your time is really what you're doing. If you think that by merely going through the motions or keeping certain days as opposed to others or being hateful to somebody else because they're not as smart or knowledgeable as you are about Scripture, you need to check your heart. I mean, this is what it's about. Go with me to Proverbs 6. And I want to begin in 16, Proverbs 6, verse 16. There are, ladies and gentlemen, six things that Jehovah hates. Six things that Jehovah hates. Yeah, seven which are an abomination unto him. You ready? Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked purposes. Feet that are swift in running to mischief. A false witness that utters lies. And he that sows discord among the brethren. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. So if you're stirring things up and you're agitating God's sheep, God hates that. You might want to remember that. You might want to write that one down. Now, I want you to look at verse 18 again. This is something that Jehovah hates. A heart, English says, that deviseth wicked plans or purposes. A heart, lev, horesh, Makshavot. It's a heart that, let's see, I think it would be more a heart that digs or engraves or plows or makes a path. A heart that makes a path for bad thoughts is basically what it's saying. Makshavot is thoughts. It's your thinking. If your heart is plowing the way, basically, for bad thoughts or evil purposes, Jehovah hates that, which tells me that Jehovah wants us to get it straight at the level of the heart, that Torah faith should begin on the inside. And oh, by the way, leave others alone while you work on yourself. Don't sow discord among the brethren, unless you don't care if Jehovah hates you, or hates that action, I should say. Go with me to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15 and verse 26. Evil devices, now I'm just going with the English here. Evil devices are an abomination to Jehovah, but pleasant words are pure. Evil devices. Literally in Hebrew, it says, it starts off, an abomination of Jehovah are bad thoughts. Bad thoughts are an abomination to Jehovah. We just read, there are six things that Jehovah hates, and one of them is these bad thoughts that are plowed forth, that come from the heart. You got to get your thinking right. We can't use the excuse, well, I was born in sin, baby, I can't help it. You know, boys will be boys. I mean, I can't help it. She's looking good. No. That's not what Scripture is trying to do here. Go to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. All right. Now, Isaiah 59 begins with this idea. Isaiah is telling the people that Jehovah's hand is not shortened, that it can't save. He's not deaf. He can hear you, but there is something that's between Jehovah and you that's preventing salvation. And you know what it is? Let's just look at this. Let's read the first couple of verses. Behold, Jehovah's hand's not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it can't hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, so that he'll not hear. It's not that he can't hear. Get this. It's that he ain't listening. He's not going to hear because there is this great separation between you and Jehovah. And it's because that area between us and him is filled with sin and iniquity. And then Isaiah 59 begins to list those sins. It starts listing them off, and I'm not going to read them all, but, you know, your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies. Go on down, go down, go down. Go to verse 7. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood, right? Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. I mean, he's already listed a lot of don't do this, like physically, don't kill people, obviously. But he says in this list of atrocities that humanity's committed against Jehovah, among them is that their thoughts are thoughts of bad. Their thoughts are thoughts of bad. Their thoughts, can God do that? Can he hold us accountable for our think, you know, what we think? He should know we can't help it. Question is, but can we? Or is it just that we can't? I mean, if we can't control our thoughts, if we're just doomed to think wicked and bad and nasty things all the time, then I don't think it's really fair that Jehovah would judge us for it. I mean, how can that be right? Look, Jehovah knows the thoughts of men and nations. Men and nations. Look at Psalm 94. Psalm 94, verse 11. Jehovah knows the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. It's like they're a breath. Look at Isaiah 66:18. For I, this is talking about nations. I know their works and their thoughts. The time comes that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they'll come and shall see my glory. You see, the idea is that God is, he's out. You remember in 1 Samuel 16? And all the boys, you know, Jesse's boys come before Samuel, and Samuel says, this has got to be it. This is, must be the king. He was sent there to anoint the next king, and he sees the strapping, strong, handsome young man comes up, and he goes, that's got to be him. And Jehovah said, that's not him. Next one comes up, that's not him. This has surely got to be the guy. Look at the guy, this guy. He's a gorgeous specimen. He's going to be the king. He's got, no, it's not him. It's not him. And all of them came up, and Samuel said, is that it? Oh, we got one more. He's taking care of the sheep. He said, go get him. You see, and the point in that story in 1 Samuel 16, it says very clearly, God doesn't look at things like we look. He doesn't see it as man sees it. He looks on the inside. No matter how good looking you are or how bad you might look, none of that matters because God's looking at the inside. The outside matters. Our outside actions matter, obviously, because when we do good and it is coming forth from that which is planted, which is good in the heart, good means good. Now, look with me to Proverbs 19, Proverbs 19 and verse 21. All right. There are many devices in a man's heart, but the counsel of Jehovah shall stand. Literally translated, Rabot machashavot belevish. Many are the thoughts in the heart of man. Man's got a lot of thoughts. There's a lot of thinking internally in man, but if it is not aligned with the counsel of Jehovah, it won't stand. Because the counsel of Jehovah is what stands. The heart of man needs to be aligned with the counsel of Jehovah in order to stand. Look at Psalm 33. Psalm 33 and verse 11. The counsel of Jehovah stands fast forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generation. So God's heart, the thoughts of God's heart align with his counsel, and that stands. So what the thoughts of man need to be in alignment with, as best we can, the thoughts and counsel of Jehovah. That's what makes the difference. Now look, there is a great difference between us and Jehovah. I recognize that. Go to Psalm 40. I know a lot of people are in the crowd probably going, oh, I know where he's going with this, and you're already thinking of another verse. I'll get to it. Psalm 40, verse 5. Psalm 40, verse 5. Many, O Jehovah my God, are the wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts which are towards us. So we hope, see, we hope and pray that Jehovah's kind and generous, his hesed, is towards us. Remember, we've talked about this the last couple of weeks. We want Jehovah's thoughts toward us in a good way. I want to add that, in a good way. Look at Psalm 92, 5. This is talking about the thoughts of Jehovah. Psalm 92, verse 5. How great are thy works, O Jehovah! Your thoughts are very deep. As we would expect, Jehovah's thoughts are very deep. Go with me to Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65, start to show you a little bit of a contrast here. 65, and let's start in verse 1. I'm inquired of by them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. I've spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people that walked in a way that is not good. Listen, after their own thoughts. They walked in a way that's not good. After their own thoughts. A people that provoke me to my face continually. You realize this is Jehovah talking. He sees this rebellious activity and the following of their own thoughts and their sins that follow that as an affront to him. He says that they're provoking me to my face continually. He lists what they're doing. And now look at verse 5. That say, stand by thyself, come not near unto me, for I am holier than thou. You ever see anybody like that? Ever meet anybody that has this pompous arrogance? Well, remember, that's one of the things Jehovah hates, right? So when you meet them, you know, you just know that behavior is not from God. Let me tell you something. They can't have within them the spirit of Jehovah and be mean and hateful to other people. Period. It's not possible. These, Jehovah says, these are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burns all the day. Who is? These that say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than you. And Jehovah hates that. Look at Jeremiah 6 with me. Jeremiah 6. And let's start in verse 19, shall we? Hear, O earth, like everybody. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, and as for my law, they have rejected it. To what purpose come there to me frankincense from Sheva and the sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices pleasing to me. Therefore, thus saith Jehovah, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall stumble against them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish. Listen up, O earth. The fruit of their thoughts. How many of you think about this? Do you realize that your thoughts will bring forth fruit? Think of thoughts as seeds planted in your heart. If you plant a certain thing, you will inevitably get that fruit that is associated with the seed that you planted. Sin begets sin, if you will. You got to be careful what you plant. It says that they have not paid attention to my words, and they have rejected my Torah. Look at Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah 18 and verse 11. Now therefore, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith Jehovah, behold, I frame evil against you, and devise a device against you. I'm going to tell you now, that's not a good translation. Devise a device against you. Return ye now, every one, from his evil way, and amend your ways and your doings. He says, basically, I'm devising this plan, literally in the Hebrew. The word there is our word for thinking. He's thinking concerning the inhabitants of Jerusalem and Judah, a thought. You know what that is? He says it. Return ye now, every one, from his evil way and amend your ways and doings. Look, this return has to be internally. It's an inside job first. Before a ship can turn, has to be something going on the inside, right? I wasn't in the Navy, but I know enough about seagoing vessels. Think about a car. The car, for the car to turn, something on the inside should happen first. What I'm telling you is that the turning that is expected of you individually and we collectively as a people, as a congregation, an organization, a town, a county, a parish, a state, a nation, a world, begins on the inside. Return each one of you from the bad. I can't fix you. You can't fix me. I need to fix me. You need to fix you. It's the way it's supposed to work. Look, let me show you what they say, though. Look down at verse 12. But they say, it's vain, for we'll walk after our own thoughts. English says devices. And will do everyone after the stubbornness of his evil heart. Can you imagine people saying that? They say, that's vain. We're going to walk after our own thoughts. Didn't we just read that that's what got him in trouble? Walking after your own thoughts. Jehovah wants us to return to him to forsake the bad. Now look with me. Isaiah 55, please. Verse 6. Seek ye Jehovah while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. If you never listen to me, listen to this. and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to Jehovah, and he'll have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I'm going to read verse 7 again. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to Jehovah, and he'll have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith Jehovah. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. For as rain comes down, and snow from heaven, and returns not thither, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, gives seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that which I please, and will prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Let the unrighteous forsake his thoughts. It starts, the turning has to start on the inside. And you know, a turn sometimes takes longer than it does at other times. Sometimes it's slow going. Sometimes a bigger vehicle might need more room to turn. Sometimes you see what I'm you see what I'm saying. The idea is we don't need a bunch of traffic cops, namely you and I. Don't need to stand there and tell people how they need to turn. And we can teach things in love. But individually, people need to respond to the message. To be critical and point the finger and laugh at and mock and make fun and say things that actually aren't based in Scripture and demonstrate that they err, for they know not Scripture, when they say such things like, it doesn't matter what you think, it matters what you do. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've heard that Judaism and or Torah faith and or the Hebrew Bible is really just concerned about our actions and deed and all that internal stuff is fluffy, Christianized, and they err for they know not Scripture. To turn requires an inner working. Go with me to Jeremiah 4, and verse 14. O Jerusalem, wash your heart from wickedness so that you might be saved. That in and of itself is incredible. Wash your heart so that you can be saved. Now, how do you wash your heart? I mean, think about that. That's a powerful statement. Oh, wait, I'm not even finished. Listen to this. How long shall your evil thoughts lodge within you? You want to be saved? This is Hebrew Bible. I'm sorry if you thought this was something else. This is from the Tanakh. This is Scripture. You want to be saved, you need to wash your heart. Oh, and by the way, you can't have evil thoughts lodging within you. You say, well, that's Jerusalem. Okay, I'm going to say that the same thing applies whether you're talking about a city, a county, a parish, a country, a globe, whatever. I believe it applies to individuals. Wash your heart. Wash your heart. And look, how long, saith Jehovah, are you going to allow these bad thoughts to be inside of you? Which indicates that they don't have to be inside of you and me. David gave Solomon some advice. Let's go to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9. Here we go. And you, Solomon, my son, know you the God of your father and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For Jehovah searches all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. You get that? You got to serve God with everything you have, willing mind, perfect heart. Why? Because Jehovah searches all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. If you seek him, he'll be found of you. But if you forsake him, he'll cast you off forever. That's what Solomon heard from Daddy. King David told him this. And you might say, well, that's just for David to say. No, listen, this is good stuff. This tells us something very important about Jehovah searching. See, David in Psalm 139, he says, search me. In Hebrew, it's v'kol yetzer v'chashavot, every formation of thoughts. Let me make sure you get this. David tells Solomon that God knows and understands every formation of thoughts. Do you know that Hebrew phrase is only found two times in all of the Hebrew Bible? Once here, where David is telling Solomon how to behave, and once in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, when God himself says it, that every formation of the thoughts, v'chol yetzer, machashavot, every intention of the thoughts, God's searching. Now, David went on to pray, and I just want to read one thing, one part of this prayer. Look at 1 Chronicles 29. And look at verse 17. I know also, my God, that you try the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now I have seen with joy your people that are present here offer willingly unto thee, O Jehovah, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers. Keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of your people, and prepare their heart unto thee. David recognizes that Jehovah is one who searches the heart, and he understands that every imagination of the thoughts of the heart is open, like an open book before Jehovah, the God of all creation. He reads it. What he asks God, knowing this, is that you, look, that you would guard this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of the people and prepare their heart unto you. That ought to be our prayer. That knowing that Jehovah sees our very innermost, who we really are, that he's asking, and we should ask, prepare our hearts, draw us to you. Let me ask you, do the very formation of our thoughts have to be bad? Is it our nature? Will boys be boys? Is that true? I mean, is it that we can't help it, that we're just born in sin and We just, you can't help it. Best you can do is bottle it up. Is that true? Or can our very nature be changed? Is it nature or is it choice? Look at Proverbs 12:5. The thoughts of the righteous are just. The thoughts of the righteous are just. Mishpat. If somebody's having all these bad thoughts all the day, they need to check themselves. If a person says, I can look, I just can't touch, in reference to another man's wife, if he thinks that, if he really believes that, he's wrong. Period. Well, let me say it this way. He's wrong according to the Word of God. If he wants to create his own idea of what is right and wrong, then that's up to him. But if we're talking about Jehovah's instructions, we are to work this from the inside. Look, God knows our frame. David recognized this. We will stumble, but God's way is set up to where we can get up. It doesn't mean you won't ever have a bad thought. That's not what I'm saying. But these people who put forward this idea that your thoughts, you can think about whatever you want. I don't even like putting stuff in me, you know, in my mind that is other than this. I don't want to do it. Look at Proverbs 16. And verse 3, Proverbs 16:3. Commit thy works unto Jehovah, and your purposes shall be established. Now, what does that have to do with our subject today? Literally in Hebrew, roll your work. It's like you roll it to Jehovah. The Hebrew word is the root word, gol. It's like a roll it. Roll it to Jehovah. Roll your works to Jehovah, and your thoughts shall be established. You want to get your thinking right? You roll it to Jehovah. And you're basically saying, Jehovah, help my thoughts. Help me get focused. Just like David prayed. You're praying that God would guard this forever and that he would direct our hearts toward him. Look at Jeremiah 29. God wants to do this. Look at Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. Many of you know this passage. For I know your thoughts, or I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith Jehovah. Thoughts of peace, not of bad, to give you hope in your latter end. And you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I'll listen to you. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I'll be found of you, saith Jehovah, and I will turn again your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I've driven you, saith Jehovah, and I will bring you again unto the place which I caused you to be carried away captive. The thought that Jehovah is thinking towards his people is one of good. We need to get our thoughts right. It really does start with the heart. Let me tell you something. Out of the heart comes evil. Evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. They all come from the heart. And they defile man. as it says in Jeremiah 4:14, wash your heart from bad and be saved. And listen to this. How long will you allow bad thoughts to remain in you? Look, I know it's a lot easier for me to just say, just don't eat pork. I mean, you'll be okay. Wear tzitzit. Just wear fringes on your garments. You can look at her, you know, and wolf whistle even. Just don't, you know. You see, that thinking is leading people to sin. Here's what I'm saying to me first, and to anyone else who wants to listen, let's pray to Jehovah and say, fix me on the inside. Search me, O God. If I have any secret sins, if I have anything hidden, if there are things that people don't know that I don't even know, if there's something in my heart that's not right, get it out, please. Please take it out. Direct my heart towards you. Cleanse me. Purge me with hyssop. See, this is what Jehovah wants. He wants us to ask for that. If we approach according to our own thoughts and say, no, that guy on Facebook said that it really doesn't matter. You know, I can do what I want to do I can think what I want to think as long as I don't do what I really think I want to do. Stop. That is stupid. That's ridiculous. That's absurd. It's untrue. We have got to fix ourselves from the inside. That's what the Bible says. We can't do it by ourselves. It requires Jehovah's help. That's my prayer for me. It's my prayer for you. Scripture's right. And I believe so is the saying of Jesus. That's what I believe. It was a little bit hard to put that in a Facebook comment. But I think this way, without naming names, many people could benefit from it. And they can question, does God really need me to just simply refrain my actions? Or is he asking for me to change my heart? Wherever you are, no matter where you are physically right now, you can ask God to wash your heart. You can ask God to teach you and show you his way, to reveal anything that is not right within you, and you can begin to look within and ask God to give you eyes to see yourself as he sees you. That's what we need to do. Taking a woman that belongs to another man is clearly sin. But desiring the woman that belongs to another is also sin. It's called coveting. And it's a sin that goes beyond the skin. It goes to the heart. In the very 10-word testimony that Jehovah wrote with his own finger, he said, you shall not covet. You know the physical. You know that murder, that theft, that, you know, you can go through these. You go, oh, yeah, I'm not going to do that. What about desire? Desire in and of itself is not bad. It's desiring what belongs to another. It is the formation of a thought which could lead to other things. But don't think for one minute that coveting is a minor infraction and theft is a major. These two sit side by side. They were written with the finger of Jehovah. We should challenge ourselves to think about what we think about every day. Shabbat Shalom.